I just so appreciate these songs that we've been singing, just adoring Christ. One of the things that I so appreciate about spending time at Christmas is we really begin to, we need some time to dedicate to the person of Christ. The further I've gone in ministry, the more I realize how important it is to keep in front of our eyes the humanity and the deity of Christ and what all that has accomplished, and that there's nothing you face that he is not aware of and has not identified with in one way or the other, and that he, his death and resurrection has accomplished it all. Those are good, good things for us to remember. We can give you all of the latest gimmicks and toys and tricks of church world, but if we don't give you the person of Christ, we have so failed. And so that's what we want to do as we consider these songs we've been singing. And we'll be having some messages on Christmas this morning. You might wonder how the truth about husbands, what does that have to say about Christmas? And yet in Ephesians 5, Paul says that this is likened, this marriage is likened to Christ in the church. And when you think of Christ coming down in the manger, there the groom leaves his home in heaven. And he seeks his bride by being born a baby, living a sinless life, and dying for us. And so take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And as you do that, I want you to consider all that Christ is to us during this season. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come before you and we do not take this subject of marriage lightly, because you don't take it lightly. And Father, we thank you for giving us marriage, which chisels away at us. Father, we pray, help us now as husbands and wives and singles of every age and category, that we would look at this subject of marriage from your perspective. Change us, Lord, in ways that we have not been changed. Teach us things that we thought we knew, but we really don't understand. And I pray, Father, that you would give us understanding of those things. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So last week we talked about the role of wives in marriage. And this morning we talk about the role of husbands in marriage. For us guys, as has been noted in the book that I've been giving in the resource room, living with a wife requires real thoughtfulness. I knew I was going to get somebody to say that. I really knew that. Somebody was going to yell amen. I thought it was going to be a guy who was going to, but it was a lady. I'm not going to, who said that anyway? Yeah, thank you very much. Good. I'm after real honesty this morning, because I'm going to put some things on the screen about the truth about husbands. Ladies, it might surprise you what some guys are thinking. It may not surprise you. But it takes real thoughtfulness to live with a wife in an understanding way. And a lot of what a husband is to do can only be learned on the job. And you know what? On the job training is the best, but sometimes it's the hardest. There is a steep learning curve. Let's admit it, a steep learning curve to understanding a wife, with a whole lot of vertical, and sometimes not that many plateaus, if you're trying to understand your wife and your role as a husband. It takes a lot of thoughtful, honest, hard work. Loving a wife, let me just be clear, us guys, we like to think, I get up in the morning and I go to work and I provide a good living, and that means I love my wife. And it probably does mean you love your wife. That is sacrifice. Let's not undermine that. But it's not everything. If you're not getting up, guys, and working and loving your wife in that way, that's probably something you want to ask. Okay, why? What is it in my life that maybe I need to understand? And I understand different guys are in different situations, even physically and so forth. Husbands, though, have a certain power and drive that can either be misused to hurt our wives, or we can just be these passive guys. And the wife then steps into the role of leader in the home. And if you want to know what many Christian men think when it comes to this whole idea of loving their wives as Christ loves the church, I really think what a 7-year-old boy named Kenny said, it really does pretty well sum it up. Gives me a headache to think about that stuff. I'm just a kid. I don't need that kind of trouble. There's a lot of men who would say that exact thing. I'm just a kid. I don't need that kind of trouble. So, Ephesians chapter 5, I'd like to read, to get our context, verse 22, backing up to the wives, all the way through verse 33. Would you stand together with me in reverence for God and the reading of what he has to say to us? Wives, verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Thank you. You may be seated. Every single time I read that passage, I grow more in awe of this thing called marriage that depicts Christ and the church. It's hard to separate that out. It is a mystery, something that was previously unrevealed. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, in Ephesians 5, we're in a section of New Testament letters that's called the house codes. House codes. The New Testament, sometimes will do this. You see it in Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Peter, house codes. That's the label for these sections. And it's where, the apostle writing the letter will give instructions to husbands and wives and children and parents. And these are important sections because as Christians, they were to think differently than the world around them. And if your Christianity does not affect the way you are a husband or a wife or a parent, it really makes you wonder, has it really changed me? Am I who I say I am? So with that in mind, let's spell it out today for us guys. Straightforward, but you understand it's not just for guys. Because the better the ladies understand this as well, just like the husband's understanding the wife role, we can make it easier on each other. So our big idea this morning is this. A husband's primary responsibility toward his wife is to love her as Christ loved the church. That sounds simple, doesn't it? It surely does until you start thinking about it. And from that, we take that the main responsibility for setting a loving climate in the home is on the husband. Now, there are husbands who do this well. They take to it quite nicely. But there are probably way more husbands who want to do this well, but we struggle. And then there are some husbands who simply want to be left alone and just don't bother me with this kind of talk. So, because what Paul is saying here is quite daunting if you think about it. Now, I want you to notice something in what we just read. Paul talks to wives in mainly three verses, 22 through 24, mainly those verses. He'll kind of diverge every once in a while. But when he talks to husbands, he does so mainly in nine verses, 25 through 33. So he spends three times more talking to you husbands and to me as a husband than he does to our wives. And the reason for that, I believe, is the vital role of the husband that we play in representing Christ in the home. That's rough. That's difficult. And it requires a lot of grace. Now, that being the case, what I would like to do is I'd like to begin with just a gut level question. Why do many husbands run from their role to love their wives? I think you can already put this together. If we're representing Christ, you know what? That is a heavy load to bear. Why do so many husbands run from their role to love their wives? There are a lot of people, guys, who hear this kind of talk, Christian guys, that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church, and they run for the hills. They're like, that's not for me. Or they barricade themselves behind their work, their hobbies, and say, just don't bother me. Leave me alone. And I think I know why guys do this. Because first of all, I'm going to give you a number of reasons. It's too hard. I just can't do it. That's just too hard. I tried that. I really, when we were first married, when we were dating, I liked this idea. Most guys who are dating and engaged, Christian guys, they like this idea. I'm the head of my wife, or soon to be wife. I'm going to love her as Christ loves the church. It comes easy. Any guy can stay. I'm going to love you till the stars go dim. Any guy can say that. But when the barfing kids start, that's when they run for the hills. Right? It's too hard. What thinking husband would be so bold as to proudly proclaim, I love my wife just like Christ loves the church? If you say that to me, I'm going to spend a couple of minutes and I'm going to poke holes in that. Because there's not a man on this earth who loves his wife just like Christ loves the church. That's the ideal. So let's set our expectations that we say, you know what, this must be possible because we're commanded. But no man is perfect. And so if you think or your wife thinks that you're going to be perfect in this, you are going to get discouraged and you are going to run for the hills. It's quite intimidating to think that we could conceive of loving a wife the way Christ loves the church because we're not Jesus. I want to show you, most of us guys realize just how out of tune we can actually be if we're not careful. And I knew I was in trouble when I was dating my wife, who was soon to be my wife, in college. And I went to introduce her to some friends. You might have heard me tell this before. And instead of saying, hey guys, I'd like you to meet Stephanie, I said, hey guys, I'd like you to meet Shelley. And you're surprised I'm still married. Or we got married. Us guys do dumb things. Our brains get wiped every once in a while. I've never done that since. You just watch. I'm setting myself up here. Most of us men know that we do foolish things. It's pretty hard. But you look at that and you think, man, if Christ tells me to do that, it must mean that it can be done, right? It must mean that, in fact, this comes following Paul's statement that we need to walk by the Spirit. And so apparently there's something about loving your wife as Christ loves the church that goes along with verse 18, which is being filled with the Spirit. We can't do it alone, but we can do this if we have a perfect or a better understanding of this. Here's another reason why many wives or many husbands run from this. I don't even know what it means to love my wife as Christ loves the church. You know why? Because we don't maybe understand this. This is, as Paul says, a mystery. A mystery in the New Testament, though, is not this mystical thing that it's like in this fog, but it's something that was previously unrevealed in Scripture, Christ and the church in this manner. And so I don't even know what it means. It sounds like spiritual mumbo jumbo to me, and I'd like to explain that a little bit later on in the message. So we'll get to this second objection, so to speak. Here's another one. I don't know how to love a wife because I've never seen it done. That's a huge one. There aren't many guys. In fact, there's no guy who's ever seen someone do this perfectly. No one. You say, well, my dad did not love my wife. Join the crowd with many, many guys. But probably most of us as believers, if we had Christian dads, we could probably say, I saw him trying. It seems complicated. It seems impossible. But I want you to remember in the context, who is Paul writing to? He's writing to the Ephesian believers. These men in this church, this church in Ephesus, are young believers. Probably most of them are less than 10 years old in the Lord. Probably some of them have just gotten saved. And let's remember where they lived. They lived in a place where they had the temple of Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. And to worship the goddess of the Ephesians, men would go in, and there was prostitution in the temple. And many men, probably many of these guys that he's writing to, had done this in their unsaved days. And also remember that many of these guys were married to women that they had not chosen as their wives. Their parents had chosen them in those days. So Paul is saying, husband, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And what they're hearing is, this is radically different, and I've never seen anyone do it. These are probably first generation Christians, most of them. There might have been one or two in there, because, you know, we're talking in the midst of just a couple of years. Could someone have gotten saved, had a child, led that child to Christ, maybe a second generation Christian, but not many of them. Most of them are coming to this brand new. They've never seen it done. And so when Paul wrote what we read here to husbands, it was just as radical in his day as it is in ours. But it's still possible. Let me show you another one. Why guys tend to run. It's too confining. I just won't do it. This is the one that, in my estimation, is the hardest to deal with. If you've got a husband who's saying, I just don't want to do it, you're not going to do it, that's where you have to have the Spirit of the living God pray for him to break that kind of hardness. No man wants that kind of responsibility unless his mind has been formed by Christ. Unless he comes to the point and says, man, I want to shepherd a wife. Most guys don't want that kind of accountability. I don't want to answer to anyone for the way I use my time, the way I use my money, the schedule I keep, the life I live. But we have to ask ourselves as Christian men, isn't this what God commands? Is it not? Bottom line, do you want to do what God commands? Let me show you one that's troubling, and this is the last one before we get into how a husband can step into his role. My wife competes with me for leadership in the home. This one's huge. That will demoralize a guy. For certain guys, it will fire up their competitive nature, and he will end up crushing his wife. And that's one of the dangers of husbanding. If you understand, husband, that you are the leader in the home, guess what? You have power and you have influence. And if you begin to allow that competition, and if you begin to step into get into that arena, you could end up crushing your wife. So it could be, men, that we've been dodging from loving as Christ loves the church because we just don't feel up to it. Well, I want to show you some encouragement. This is not perfection. This is not perfection. But maybe you can identify with these four or five things. And maybe these are the things that you need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got these hang-ups. I need your help. So how can a husband step up to his God-assigned role? How can that happen? I want to say this, that sometimes men are afraid to do this because they feel like they might be accused of dominating the woman. And that's not what this passage is talking about. You're going to see it in a second. But in our culture today, to step into what the Bible says as a husband means you are going to need to step into leadership. It means that you're going to need to take the reins, that you are going to need to set direction, that you are going to need to have your head up rather than down, looking out and saying, where do we need to go? Where are we and where do we need to go? And if that is in our world today, if that is male dominance in a bad way, well, then that's where it contradicts Scripture. And so, husbands, we need to step into this role, this God-assigned role. And first of all, I want you to see, and I've got, I think, three or four of these that I just pulled straight from Ephesians 5. You want the summary. You want the download on Ephesians 5. Here it is. of what a husband is to do. First of all, you've got to accept your role as the head of the wife. That sounds so male dominance, but it's not. Accept your role. And wives, what that means is you need to accept that your husband is the head. Verse 23, Paul makes this astounding statement in the context of what he says to the wives. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Who says that? You will get yourself laughed out of any gathering today when you just say what the Bible says. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. So the only way the husband is not the head of the wife is if Christ is not the head of the church. And that's not going to happen. So what does that mean? The Greek term for head is kephale. And if you think what a head is to the body, you think that without a person's head, they are no longer alive. I don't mean to be gruesome, but that's the picture here. And in the ancient world, this is not a new analogy. Paul uses it for Christ as the head of the church. And in the ancient world, they didn't see head as maybe kind of organizational as much. They saw it as, this is a human body, here's the head. This is what keeps things going. This is what looks ahead. This is what, if you don't have a head, you're no longer alive. It gives direction to the body. The head gives signals to the body. This is the same image of Christ being the head of the church. So the husband's role as head of the wife is really two primary things. As the head, leadership and provision. It gives guidance. It gives direction. It even gives some inspiration to the body. But it also provides the strength, the help, the sustenance. And this is consistent, what I'm saying, with the head-body imagery used in the ancient world. So what I'm saying is this, and what Paul is saying is this. To say that the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church is to say that husbands are the leaders in the marital relationship. Husbands are the leaders in the marital relationship. To be a leader does not mean that you're the boss. I'm the boss here, and you start barking out commands. You work for me. You'll do what I say. You know, being the head of the wife is also not seeing her as a slave, like saying to her this morning right after church, hey, sweetie, I've got a bunch of guys coming over for the game today. Can you just be sure to keep the dips and chip coming? Don't do that. Husbands don't own their wives like that. I will say, 1 Corinthians 7 says that the wife owns the husband's body and the husband owns the wife's body. Okay, so there's ownership there, but there's not ownership as the head of the wife. I own you. Legitimate submission cannot be coerced. And I'm not going to back away from what Scripture says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And we're not going to back away from what Scripture says. We're also going to say to us guys, you can't get legitimate submission by coercion, by force, by dominating. What I don't see Paul ever saying is, husbands, make sure your wives submit. And I don't see Paul saying, wives, make sure that your husbands love you as Christ loves the church. What I see is, wives, you do your part. Husbands, you do your part. You stick to your thing. Let her stick to her thing. And in the spirit of the passage, I do hear Paul saying, let's make it as easy for each other as possible. Husbands, if you are the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, it's going to be easier for her. If you simply say, I just want to be as close to Christ as I can by his strength. I'm not going to coerce submission. I'm going to know and believe and live as if she's equal, which she is. That will be much easier for her in the home. Our wives are equal with us. I will say they are very different from us. So husbands have been entrusted with leadership. That is to be sacrificially carried out with the well-being of our wives in mind. It means we're looking as the head of the home at the state of our home, our marriage, our relationships, physically, spiritually, monetarily, really in every area. This is a heavy load. So I want to say this to wives from last week. You look at that and I can only imagine how difficult it is to swallow verses 22 through 24 for a wife. But imagine how difficult it is for a husband to live up to verses 25 through 33 too. So mutual understanding here. Practically speaking, as the leader in the home, a husband can provide freedom and possibilities for his wife. As a leader, to do work in the home, fixing things, yes, cleaning up after the family, sometimes folding clothes, yes, this is not a domestication of men. If it fits, that he's saying, this is the overall thing that needs to be done for the good of my family. Sometimes women with stronger personalities can wonder if there's any room for them in this whole house code in Ephesians 5. And of course there is. As both husbands and wives seek to grow in their role, a godly husband leader can help a strong woman thrive. The key is, don't start competing with each other. Don't start undermining and goading and try to take his role. You know, I don't think any Christian wife who just wants to be what God wants her to be, she in the moment, in a sinful moment, may want to usurp the authority. But guess what? In the end, I don't think she wants to be in that leadership position when she stands before God. So the husband and the wife are to understand that the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. So men, we need to seek to step into that role. Secondly, he must love with all-out sacrifice. With all-out sacrifice. It is this role as the sacrificial lover that actually makes it easier for the wife to fulfill her part. You know, Christ loved the church. How? By leaving his place in glory. We celebrate that at Christmas, right? Coming down as a servant, you want to see Christ's love for the church sacrificial? Philippians 2 is your passage. He in the form of God thought it not robbery to take on the form of a servant, to become a man, to come down to this earth, to suffer insult, to die the death, not just die the death of a criminal. He gave his life on this earth. And then rising from the dead, ascending to the Father's right hand. Why? Because he wants to redeem his bride. Christ sacrificed everything except for his headship so that we might go to glory. So for husbands who want to love as Christ loves the church, it means loving her sacrificially over the long haul. If it means being willing literally to die for her well-being, yes. But probably more what it means is the daily dying. So that when you make decisions, your wife, you know, it's amazing how people will follow you. This is in business. This is in workplaces. This is in family. It's amazing how people will follow you if they know why. And if they know, as hard as it is, they're going to have to sacrifice. You're asking them to do certain things, and you are leading, and they're like, well, why? Well, because, hey, we need this, this, and this. Do you see how that helps us? So much easier when they know you're not doing it for yourself. Now, what I would suggest, as I did last week, is what not to do in the car ride home. Ladies, this is now for you. Last week I said it to the guys. Don't look over at your husband and say, well, honey, did you hear the message this morning? Because it was all about you, and we got some dishes at home, and I think you need to be helping out and sacrificing for me, loving like Christ loves the church. Don't do that. But for now, let's keep focusing. And by the way, I'm continuing to stock the resource room with the books. One of the things I know in a message, I cannot give you all of the day-to-day scenarios that come up that you need to know the application of this. I just can't do that in a message like this. I would encourage you to get the book. Now, here's one caveat to that. I think I've cleared out the local Christian bookstores of this book. You guys have been picking those up a lot, which is great. So I'm stocking it one more time, but we weren't able to get them in for today. It'll come in probably tomorrow or the next day. So pick those up maybe on Wednesday evening in the resource room. Like I said, it's not hard to find a guy who will say, you know, I'm going to love you till the end of the age and make all these bold pronouncements. But when things get rough, that's when we have to sacrifice. Now, let me show you the third portion of a husband's role. He must love with a purpose. This is more than just this sentimental, I love you, writing poems. And poems are great. And if you write poetry, keep writing poetry. But this is love with a purpose. We're going somewhere. This is where the husband as the head has his eyes forward saying, how can I help my wife to stand sanctified before Christ one day? And verses 26 and 27 say that Christ sanctifies and cleanses his wife with the water of the word, so that one day when his bride, the church, is presented before God, she will be spiritually perfected without a spot, without a wrinkle, without a moral stain, without a blemish. Now, to state the obvious, husbands cannot sanctify their wives the way Christ sanctifies the church. So it's not on us husbands to make our wives grow spiritually. It is not on us husbands to cleanse her of moral stains. And probably one of the worst ways for us to do that is pull our wives aside and say, hey, I see this blemish and I see that blemish. You need to fix this. And that's not going to go very far. But what we can do is provide a climate in the home that will promote spiritual growth. And this is a stretch for some guys. What it means is that our wives ought to be able to have a spiritual, biblical conversation with us. And if you're not there, stretch. It ought to be that we can pull out scripture and we ought to be able to read. We ought to be able to read a Christmas devotional together between now and December 25th. We ought to be able to pray together. As difficult and awkward as that can seem, you get into that and it's not that difficult. These are the things. How do you grow spiritually? You're in the word. You're in prayer. You're devoting your mind to serving the Lord. Help your wife do the same thing. By all means, encourage her at least to get with other ladies and the church where scripture is going to be taught. Memorize a passage with her. Those kinds of things go further than what you really realize. And sometimes our wives have insights that we don't have into Scripture. And you know what? That's a good thing because we sharpen each other. So we can, even though we can't sanctify our wives, we can encourage them rather than discourage them in their Christian growth. We can enable them to have their time in the Word. We can give them the time they need. Maybe we just have to, like, not be bothering them when they're in the Word in their devotions. Maybe it's as simple as that. Let me ask you husbands here today, because I ask myself this. I come away this week and I think, man, I'm really in the target because I'm not getting it. But I have a feeling probably most guys are feeling the same way. Do you provide time for your wife? Are you loving her with a purpose? Providing an atmosphere in your home that helps your wife to grow. Let me show you the fourth. He must love her with gentleness. See that in verses 28 and 29? So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And invariably, verse 29, when you read that, no one ever hated his own flesh. Somebody will say, well, I know a person. He totally ruined his body. He didn't like his own flesh. You know what? We all love our own bodies. Meaning, we nourish them. When we get thirsty, we drink water. When we get hungry, guys, when we get hungry, we figure out how to eat, right? When we get tired, we figure out how to sleep. Whenever our bodily needs call, we find out a way. And so the idea here is we are seeking to provide this loving atmosphere in the home. And one of the things we do is we love with gentleness. We nourish and cherish. Those are the two words that Paul uses there. Nourish means to feed. So that something can grow and thrive. It's what you do with your kids. That's why you get up and go to work every day, so that you can have money, so that you can feed your children. That's nourishing them. But you're also nourishing them spiritually as you give them instruction in the Word, as you seek to play games with them, as you seek to spend time. You're nourishing them. That's what we need to do with our wives on a husband-wife level. cherish literally means to warm someone or something. So all of this husbanding as the head of the wife is about loving as Christ loves the church, warming our wives. And again, is that not a tall order? But let me say this, isn't it wonderful to know God does not expect us to be perfect, but he does want us to be consistent. He does want us to be consistent. Now let me give you the last question. Because I have a feeling most guys come to this and they're like, man, I just cannot, as I've been saying all along. But why? Why is a husband to love his wife? What's the reason? This is where many men run from their responsibility, but and they feel like hypocrites. And yet, I have to say this. Instead of saying, why would anybody ever sign up to be a husband? With this why right here, you say, this is a great privilege. This is something worth your time. This is something worth your effort. And so I want you to see this. When you see a Christian husband loving his wife, that is a living picture of how Christ loves the church. Is that worthwhile? That is so worth it. When you see a Christian husband loving his wife, that is a living picture of how Christ loves the church. Because I know in a room like this, anytime you go into even a little detail on the role of a husband or a wife, or you talk about marriage, there's pain. There's pain in a room like this. Because maybe you tried this and it didn't work. Or maybe as a wife you said, you know what? I am trying to love my husband. I'm trying to respect him, and yet he acts so unrespectable. And as a husband, you're saying, I'm trying to lead, but I've got such a competition going with my wife. I just don't like this anymore. Or maybe you feel like you failed. But see, here's the thing. It's all nice to know that all of this points to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves perfectly all the time. And even though we get this wrong at times, what is it doing? It's pointing to a Savior who will not get it wrong. Who will one day take all of the flaws, all of the failures, all of the mess ups, all of the sins, and for his bride, he will cleanse us. He will purify us, and we will stand before him complete. So even though a husband's love for his wife is imperfect, the great thing is, what are you saying when you love your wife? You're saying Christ loves the church. That's not only for husbands. This picture is for wives too. When you see a Christian wife respecting her husband, see, isn't that, it's love and respect. You've seen the book, but it's true. It comes from verse 33. Husbands are to love their wives. You want to sum up everything about a husband? Love your wife. You want to sum up everything about a wife? Respect your husband. The rest of it is just how to do it. But when you see a Christian wife respecting her husband, that is a living picture of how the church responds to Christ. We spend, think about this, we spend dollars and time and energy on evangelism, don't we? I mean, think about this. Our kids' ministries, our adult ministries, our missions, what is it? It's about getting the gospel out to this world. And we spend all kinds of time, energy, staff, all of that stuff, talking about a saving relationship that we have with Christ. But do you realize that even if we're not able to go door to door or preach the gospel or go to some foreign mission field, every day in our marriages, we live the gospel in such a way that proclaims it. Because as you look and you see a husband and wife, and if you're an unbeliever and you see this love, you say, what kind of love is that? I don't want that as a husband. And yet that guy does. Why is he pouring himself out? He's a Christian. He's showing Christ in the church. I want that. See, that's what Paul, that's one of the struggles of Ephesians 5 is to understand where is Paul talking about husbands and wives and where is he talking about the church? And the fact is, the whole thing, he's talking about both. So the mystery is that somehow God loves us and sent his son for us. And the bewildering fact is that Christ loved the church so much he gave himself up for her even before he ever or she ever knew him. The church. Failures, filled with failures, filled with people who've messed up, and yet Christ still came. still gave, still poured out. You know, there have been homes where there's been far too little love. Sad thing? I think husbands and wives just might wake up one day and realize what they've done. And realize that instead of comforting each other, we've judged. And finally realize, but you know what? That's not the end of the story. The end of the story is just the beginning, that Jesus Christ, our groom, poured himself out to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as imperfect as we get it, he is not imperfect. And so what I would say to husbands and wives today is this. Perhaps we now look at our own lives and we see our shortcomings. What should we do? Well, certainly we should repent. Certainly we should own what is ours to own. And certainly we should ask forgiveness. And certainly we should seek to take action to live up to being filled with the Spirit in our husbandly or wifely role. And then receive the grace of Christ. So as I conclude, I really thought long and hard about how to tie this up. Just put a nice little bow on it. But I'm just not going to do that this morning. Because every home is different. Every situation behind every door. It might be that you feel like I'm in this alone. There's grace for you in that as well, because you have Jesus Christ who can help you through. But what that means is, understand, this is your role. Do it the best you can and he will give you grace. Look at your own situation and say, Lord, where do I need to repent? Where do I need to hope? Where do I need to trust? Maybe as a single person you say, well, you know, I'd love to try this. I'd love to be a husband who pours out for his wife. Well, if that's your desire, I believe God has put that desire in your heart. Ask him. Keep staying firm and seeking the Lord for a spouse. Let's pray together. What does this passage mean to you? In your context, the interpretation is the same for all of us. The application usually looks a little bit different. It can depend on personalities. It can depend on where you live. It can depend on where you work. It can depend on your health. But husbands, would you say, I want to love her like Christ loves the church. Lord, help me understand what it means to be the head of my wife, the way Christ is the head of the church. And as a wife, would you say, Lord, help me to understand what it means to yield to the leadership of my husband? Our Father, we come before you, and I pray for any who do not know Christ today, that they would see husbands who love their wives and say, that's a picture of Jesus who wants to love me that way. And that they would come to Christ to be saved. Father, we pray for husbands, for wives. It is amazing the further we go into this passage, just how wonderful it can be and how hurtful it can be. For husbands and wives who are competing, I pray that they would stop. For husbands who have given up, I pray that they would step up. And for wives who are frustrated, I pray that you would help them. Even if they've been hurt and crushed, I ask that you would lift their heads in Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.